Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Amen, amen, amen. Jesus is alive, and that is what we're here to celebrate this morning. I just want to welcome everybody here. I hope you guys are as excited to be here as I am this morning as we celebrate the fact that Jesus overcame death and made a way where there was absolutely no other way. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity for us to come together, to praise, to worship you, to spend this time with you. Lord, whatever we're holding on to, whatever baggage of life that we're holding on to, Lord, may we just set it aside and remember that Jesus is already defeated. He's already defeated it, Lord. That there's victory on the cross. There's hope in the cross. And Lord, that we can look to you for all of that. Let's continue to praise and worship this morning. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb, yeah, till I met you.
Come on.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my
thank you, Lord. this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond.
Streets of gold.
all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that
except for our hearts singing hallelujah.
Good morning, church. Oh, it's so good to be here with everybody. And can I just say, praise God, Jesus is alive. You know, that's what we're celebrating this morning, that Jesus came to make a way where there was no other way. I want to welcome everybody here this morning, including our guests that are joining us. And I also want to welcome those joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for each and every one of you as well. But before we dive into the text this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this today. We thank you for your Son and what he did on that cross. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, that lives are transformed and that we come into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this morning we're celebrating the fact that Jesus is risen. We're celebrating the fact that our Savior is not held up in the grave somewhere. We're celebrating that it was through his death, burial, and resurrection that he gave each and every one of us new life. You know, the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it actually tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. I know that many of you in here have probably heard this verse before in your life. You've heard that Jesus came to give us a new life, and not just a new life, but an abundant life. But let's be honest, sometimes life doesn't feel so new. Life doesn't feel so abundant. Instead, life feels heavy and it feels hard to the point that we can have a hard time believing those words that were spoken were meant for you and I. Especially in the moments in life where everything just seems to stop. Or in those moments where the air just feels heavy and your chest tightens up and the only thing on your mind is, this is it. It's over. You get that phone call you never wanted to get that just makes everything stop. Or that conversation that changes everything. Or the door that suddenly shut right in front of you. I mean, you went to God and you prayed over and over again, yet he didn't answer you the way that you hoped that he would. It's in those moments that everything inside of you seems to be shouting, everything is lost, everything is over. I'm sure most of us in here this morning have had moments like that in life. Some of you may even be walking through that moment right here and right now. The future that you imagine is just disappearing right in front of you. The hope that you've been holding on to is slipping through your fingers. Your faith is being rocked to your core. And just keep replaying it over in your mind, over and over again. And you keep repeating, if only I had done something different. If only God had shown up sooner. If only, if only, if only. And your hope just slowly starts fading away. I'm sure many of you in here this morning have felt like that before. I know I have. But I want you to know that you're not alone. Not even just the people around you, but you're not alone in that feeling. This morning, as we look back on the day that Jesus was crucified, the disciples felt the same way. I mean, they had walked with Jesus for 3 years. That was all the hope that they thought they could count on. They'd seen all of the miracles. The eyes of the blind were open right in front of them. The lame walked and jumped for joy. They witnessed Jesus calm the storm with just his words. They got to witness Jesus teach like no one else ever had. And deep down inside of them, everything they had, they believed that Jesus had to be the Messiah. He had to be the one that the prophets had talked about for thousands of years beforehand. But then came Friday. Everything in their world was flipped upside down in that moment. They witnessed Jesus get arrested. They watched as he was led away, beaten, and mocked by the Roman soldiers. They watched as the Roman soldiers took Jesus and they nailed him to the cross. And all they could do there was stand there and watch. They didn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand what would come next. And as they were standing there looking up at the cross and all of their hopes and dreams were disappearing right in front of them, it was in that moment that the Bible tells us that the sky began to grow dark. It was in that moment that the ground began to shake. And it was in that moment that they heard Jesus cry out, "It is finished." They watched as Jesus took his last breath, and it was in that moment that they were broken. You know, for us, we have the opportunity of hindsight. We can look back on the cross and we can see the victory over sin and death. Yet for the disciples on that very first Good Friday, it was anything but good. It wasn't the beginning of something new. This felt like the door was being slammed shut. The cross looked like failure. It looked like defeat. It looked like God didn't come through, because in their minds, they couldn't see what God was doing in that moment. You know, for us, we know how the story ends. We know what happens next, but the disciples didn't. So let me take you a quick step into their shoes this morning. You know, on Saturday, when Friday, the chaos of Friday was over, Jesus had been placed in the tomb, and the victory of Sunday wasn't there yet. And at this point, the crowds had all gone home. Everyone that was shouting out Hosanna and everything, and praising Jesus as he came into Jerusalem, had left them. And the disciples were left hiding out, trying to understand what just happened in front of them. They were afraid, as we all would have been in that moment. They would have been heartbroken. Everything that they had built their lives around, all their hopes and dreams, had just collapsed on that cross. The Bible tells us on the road to Emmaus, one of the disciples actually stated in Luke 24:21, it tells us, "But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, isn't the third day since these things have happened?" If you notice something about what the disciples said in this moment, what did they say? They said, "We had hoped." I want you to think about that for a second. They didn't say, "We still hope." They didn't say, "We're believing." No, they said, "We had hoped." There was no hope left for them. Their hope was gone in that moment. Have you ever had a moment like that in life? Where you're at one point, or you had hope and only to lose it. You had hope that your marriage would last. You had hope that the diagnosis would be different. You had hope that things would turn around. That quiet grief of hope that never happened, you sit in it. That's what the disciples were feeling in this moment. I mean, think about what the disciples gave up to follow Jesus. Some of them left their nets behind to become fishermen of men. Matthew left his tax booth and his career. Others left their families, their routines, and their security, and everything they had to follow Jesus. For 3 years, these men walked around with Jesus, all around the countryside, in and out of cities, proclaiming that the kingdom of God had come. They didn't just believe in Jesus, they built their entire lives around him. They had placed their hope in him, and now he was gone. What made this even harder for the disciples in this moment was that Jesus had talked about this very moment, yet they still didn't fully understand what it meant by it. I mean, Jesus told them that he would suffer, right? He told them that he would die, yet even in this moment, they still can't make sense of it. They don't want to believe it, because this isn't how it was supposed to work in their mind. This isn't what was expected from them. Instead, what they were expecting, what the disciples and the followers following Jesus expected, was for him to become their king, one like King David, one like King Solomon. But what they got instead was Jesus on the cross. This is not what they expected. This is not what they were expecting. They were expecting a great victory, an overthrow of Rome, but instead they saw the execution of the man they loved. They were expecting a throne, and instead they watched his body sealed in a tomb. I'm sure the disciples were asking themselves many questions in this moment. What did we get wrong? Was he really the Messiah? Why didn't God stop this? Why didn't Jesus save himself? And maybe the hardest question of all, why didn't he come through for us? We've all been there. We've all asked these questions at different times in life. From their perspective, God looked silent in that moment. The cross didn't look like redemption. Instead, it looked like a failed mission, a lost cause. When Jesus died on the cross, everything they had hoped for died with him. And if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have been there where the disciples are inside of this moment. Moments when we had our thoughts and our plans in front of us, yet it feels like God didn't intervene when everything went sideways. We sat in prayer over and over again, yet it felt like God didn't hear our prayers, and we just feel that hope drain right out of us. We may even say if God was really working, it wouldn't look like this. But what the disciples didn't know, what we often don't know in those moments, what felt like the end to them was actually just the middle of the story. God wasn't done yet. He wasn't finished. Heaven was up to something inside of that moment. When we're facing these hard moments, we need to remember Isaiah 55:9, where it says, "For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The disciples may have seen Jesus on the cross and thought that all hope was lost, but God saw something completely different inside of this moment. He saw it as accomplishing his greatest work in history inside of that moment, because the cross was not a moment of rejection, it was a moment of reception. Even though the world saw it as everything falling apart, it was actually God putting everything together. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is part of the foundation of our faith. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't just suffering physically inside of that moment. He was receiving something in that moment. He received our sin, and he was receiving our shame in that moment. In that moment, all the guilt and the punishment that was meant for us, everything that separated us from a holy God, was placed on Jesus. Every lie that you ever told, every failure you've ever had in life, every sin that you've kept hidden, every regret you wish you could undo, all of this was placed on Jesus inside of that moment. He didn't deserve any of it. Yet because he loved us, he received all of it. That's why it says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." And this wasn't just symbolically stepping in our place. This was not a partial substitution, but complete substitution. Maybe to help you better understand what I'm talking about this morning, because church, I need you to understand what Jesus did on that cross for us 2,000 years ago. I want you to imagine standing in a courtroom this morning. Imagine standing there and everything you've ever done is put on full display. You're guilty beyond measure. The judge hands down the sentence. The verdict is guilty on all charges, and your sentence is death. But then someone steps forward and says, "I'll take it." Not because they have to, but because they chose to, out of love. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. He took our punishment that was meant for you and I. And when Jesus died on the cross, heaven responded. From the outside looking in, it looked like God had turned away. It looked like God was silent and Jesus was abandoned. In fact, the Bible tells us, the second part of Matthew 27, verse 46, it says, my God, why have you abandoned me?" is what Jesus said as he was hanging on the cross. It was in that moment that the cross felt like rejection, but I want to be clear, the cross was not chaos, it was not accident, and it was not God losing control. Instead, it was planned, it was purposeful, and it was an accepted sacrifice. The scripture tells us that it was a pleasing aroma to God, which means that the Father didn't reject the Son's sacrifice, instead he received it. Yes, Jesus bore the weight of sin in that moment. Yes, there was real suffering and separation inside of that moment, but the mission itself, the mission that Jesus came to do, was fulfilled perfectly inside of that moment. What looked like God turning away was actually God making a way. We need to remember that the cross wasn't just about Jesus receiving our sins, though, and paying our penalties, but it was also about what we receive in that moment. We need to understand that before the cross, we were separated from a holy God because of the sin inside of our lives. We were at a distance from him. In fact, the Bible says that we were enemies of God before this moment. But because of the cross, because of the love that God has for us, we were brought back into fellowship with him. Not just tolerated by God anymore, not just barely accepted and made to stand in the corner, though I will say, if I only get a corner in heaven, I'm okay with that. At least I'm in heaven. But that's not what he was doing. No, instead, he was welcoming us back. The Father was welcoming us back with open arms. It's like the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son returned to the father and the father saw him at a distance, what did the father do? He ran after that son. He went in, he embraced him, and he hugged him, not with condemnation, but with open arms. Church, we need to remember that the cross, God wasn't pushing us away. He was opening the doors for us to return to him. That we're no longer outsiders, that we're sin separated us from God. We're no longer enemies. We're no longer forgotten. Instead, the Bible tells us that we're forgiven, that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we have been fully restored to our Heavenly Father inside of that moment. Let me bring this together for you this morning. At the cross, Jesus received our sin, and the Father received his sacrifice. The debt that was owed for our sin was paid, and because of this, we're received back into relationship with God. Because what looked like loss to the world was actually love in action. What looked like the end to the disciples was actually just the beginning of redemption. Church, the cross is not where hope died. It was where hope was secured. You know, if the cross is really the place that our hope was secured, if Jesus truly took our sins on himself and the Father accepted that sacrifice, and we are brought back into the fold of God, that means something incredible is true for each of us here today and around the world. What looked like loss 2,000 years ago was actually victory, not just partial victory, not a delayed victory, but a complete victory. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:14, he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed us and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. When it says that our debt was nailed to the cross, what it means is every sin in your life has a cost. Every failure in your life has created a record with a holy God. Every wrong stood against us with God. I want you to think about this. Everything you've ever said, everything that you've ever did, everything that you didn't do that you should have done, all of these records were nailed to the cross. And they were erased in that moment, paid in full. Now here's the beautiful thing. The cross didn't ignore the record. This isn't God just throwing the record to the side. He didn't pretend it wasn't there. Instead, the cross dealt with it, and he canceled the debt. That debt, that sin in our lives, is what the devil likes to hold over our heads, doesn't he? Trying to tell us that we're not enough, that we're not good enough, trying to tell us that we can't be forgiven. But let me remind you, Colossians 2:15 tells us he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. When the Bible says that Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities, what he means is sin has lost its grip on your life. Death has lost its sting. When we come to Jesus, you know, when we look at the darkest moments inside of our lives, we often think that we have lost. But we need to remember that when Jesus was beaten, battered, and bruised, when Jesus was bleeding and dying on the cross, it looked like the enemy was winning. But in reality, the cross was not Satan's victory. No matter how much he rejoiced inside of that moment, thinking that he won, he didn't realize it was actually his defeat. That very moment that hell thought it had won was the moment it was being overthrown. And this wasn't just a private victory either. The scripture describes this event as a public spectacle, one that was declared to all of heaven and earth. Sin is defeated, darkness is broken, and the price has been paid because the cross changed everything. It redefined what hope looked like. It redefined what we thought we understood. Because what may look like defeat to us was actually victory. What looked like loss became redemption. What looked like death became life. And that means something for us here today. If God can take the worst moment in history, his own son up on the cross, and turn it into the greatest victory in all of history, then he can take our worst moment in life and he can redeem it too. But the thing is, we have to be willing to turn it over to him. We can't hold on to it ourselves. We have to hand it over to Jesus. I want to remind you this morning that the cross was not the end of the story. You know, on Friday, it looked finished. Even Jesus said it is finished, but he wasn't saying it was over. He was saying, my work is accomplished. The work was done, the price was paid, and the victory was secured. But the story wasn't over. Sunday was coming. This is what we're celebrating this morning. The cross is real, and the victory was finished, but Jesus didn't stay in the grave. And because of that, this isn't just a story for us to remember. It becomes about a gift that we can receive. You know, and Easter is not just something to celebrate. You know, it's not just about going out and finding the eggs and spending time with family. Instead, Easter is something to step into forgiveness, step into that new life that is promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Because Jesus received our sin on the cross 2,000 years ago, we can receive forgiveness today. Not partial forgiveness. Not trying harder and maybe God will accept me forgiveness, but we can receive complete forgiveness here and now. We can be restored back to our Heavenly Father. You know, all of these things that you regret, all of those moments in life you wish that you could undo, all the sin that you hold on to and that hope that you never seem to be able to find, everything is forgiven because of the cross. That is what we're celebrating. And not because you earned it. You weren't good enough on your own. The Bible says no one is good. No, not one. That's not what it tells us. Instead, it tells us that we need to go to Jesus, and he's through his blood that we are sanctified. It's through his blood that we are forgiven. It's not on our own works. None of us can earn it. You know, we can't suddenly be able to fix everything and make it right simply because Jesus already paid the debt. He paid your penalty on the cross already. He's taken care of that, so we don't have to. Easter reminds us that the story doesn't end on the cross. We don't just get a second chance. Instead, we get a new life. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17 again, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." We're given a new identity, one that is rooted in Christ when we come to him. We're given a new beginning in life where the past is not held against us. We are forgiven, and we are given a future, one that's not defined by our past. We are no longer trapped in our mistakes. We're not stuck on who we used to be, because when we come to Jesus, we are made new. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is the hope that Easter brings. Not wishful thinking, not maybe things will start to get better. Instead, we are promised a living hope, a hope that can outlast our worst day imaginable, a hope that can outlive our deepest pain, a hope that can outshine our darkest moments. I went around back to the beginning of the message this morning. Remember when we talked about that feeling where everything was lost, where all hope was gone? But because of Jesus and what he did on that cross and overcoming the grave, the feeling never has to have the final word. Instead, repent and turn back to Jesus this morning. He's waiting for you. There is hope on the cross. You know, as we're preparing to close out this morning, I'm going to remind you of this little bit. You can know all about the cross. You can have sat through sermon after sermon about the cross. You can believe the story of Jesus is true. You can celebrate Easter with us every single week and still not receive the gift that Jesus offers. My question to you is, have you received it? Have you received the free gift of salvation that is found in Jesus? Have you received the free gift that is found through Christ and Christ alone? Not based on your own merits, not based on your own works, but on what he did those 2,000 years ago on the cross. And let me explain what that means. If you've accepted the free gift that is found in Christ, it means letting go of trying to earn it, because we can't earn that gift. That means letting go of trying to carry the burdens of your own sin, because we can't carry it. It'll crush us every time. It means trusting that what Jesus did was enough. And if you want to receive that free gift of salvation, it simply means saying, "Jesus, I believe you took my place. I believe you paid my price. And today I receive your forgiveness, your grace, and your new life." You don't have to wait for that either. You don't have to fix yourselves up first and get your life in order before you come to Jesus. You come just as you are today, and you just receive it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you, to praise you, to remember what your Son did and what that means for us. Father, I thank you that you took our place and that you paid our price. And that you made a way where there was no other way. at a deep cost to you by the death of your Son on the cross. Father, may we look to you for our hope. May we look to you for our future. No matter what stands in front of us, may you give us that strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Behold Him, the One and the Only.
Today, if you've not accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you're ready to make that decision, don't let today be that day. Don't walk out here without making that. And if you need somebody to talk to, a prayer with, come see me, come see Pastor Kerwin, anybody, honestly, on the stage in the back, the elders. There's many around you that would gladly sit and pray with you. But also, if you've said yes to Jesus for the first time today, make sure to tell somebody. Don't just hold that to yourself. We are called to proclaim it to the world on what Jesus has done in our life. So as you go out this week, may you remember what Christ did. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.